Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Doing the Devil's Tango, the show where we end up, we're supposed to talk about romance and dating, but usually we just talk about whatever. But you know what? That's what podcasts are all about.
Just gonna roll with it.
So anyway, I'm Alex, and I'm here once again with Kassara. Say hello, Kassara.
Hi, Kassara.
Great, great joke. Maybe you should leave the jokes to the professionals, huh?
Sorry.
But
won't quit my day job.
Now, usually on this show, right, usually we take, like, you know, like, messages from other people about things, and that's going to be all great. But this week, I thought, something we've sort of talked about here and there a little bit, and I've talked about here and there, but I thought it would be cool if we could have this idea where it's like, we talk about sort of hard limits, soft limits, preferences, like, you know, what kind of person would you never date? What kind of person could you date under certain circumstances? Or, like, what would you kind of prefer? And I feel like, you know, I mean, it can be as specific or as open as you want. Cause I know, like, you know, some girls need a guy who's over 6 feet tall, or you need to have a six pack or whatever. And like, that's, you know, that's fine if that's your thing, I guess. It's kind of a little bit eye rolling, you know what I'm saying? But whatever, it's fine. But yeah, so I thought we could just kind of talk about that kind of stuff and just see, I don't know, what kind of people we would date and why and all that stuff. So I prepared a bit of a list, and I believe, Kassara, you have as well.
Yep.
All right, so let's start with you.
All right.
Your dating experience is vastly more expansive than mine will ever be.
I don't know if you can call it dating, but, like, cool.
Your interaction with other human beings is far more vast than I could ever.
I am a connoisseur, as they may say.
You're a connoisseur of the pee-pee, as they say.
Of dick. Yeah, so.
But pretty soon you're going to be hitting triple digits at this point, so you know what, like... But having been with as many people, specifically men, as you've been with, I figure, yeah, you must definitely know what you like and don't like at this point, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I actually say this for most girls. Like, generally, when we go on a date with a guy, we've kind of already made up in our heads that the fact that I've put makeup on and my makeup is expensive, I've kind of already made up my mind that I'm going to sleep with this guy. But he starts off with, like, 100 points at the beginning of the date, and he loses 10 points every time he says something stupid. And if he gets below, like, 70 points, then I'm not going to sleep with him anymore. So, like, you kind of have those limits on the date where it's like, oh... Did he really just say that? You know what, actually? Oh my god, is that the time? I have to go home and feed my cat, bye.
That makes sense, especially for girls. Because, like, for guys, it's like preparing for a date takes about 5 minutes usually.
What, having a quick wank?
Well, I mean, that's the smart thing to do on a first date is to, you know, like, it's good to get that out there and get, you know, get that out of your head on the first date just so that you don't end up being like all desperate and thirsty, creepy, whatever. Second date onwards, I guess you can do whatever you want. But first date, yeah, you have to pretend like you're a gentleman at least. But for girls, it's like, yeah, you got to put on makeup on. And especially if you're thinking, like, it might end up getting a little kissy-kissy, you
frisky.
Know what I'm saying? Doing a little necking, you know what I'm saying? then like, yeah, it's like, yeah, like, shave your legs and everything. Yeah,
I haven't shaved my legs in years, but yeah, like, other places.
Well, sure. Shave something somewhere. Shave your elbows. No, but it's like, yeah, like, there's a lot of prep work into it. And so, yeah, if you're already going through all of that to... meet a guy, it's like, yeah, you're starting off in a good place. The idea is, like, she's already agreed to a date with you. This is how I always thought about when I was dating. Thankfully, those days are over, because my girlfriend's incredible. But before you
fireworks.
Go on,
but before here's you go, the first time he's mentioned his girlfriend, everyone. Let's count how many times we hear it from here on out.
I'm telling you right now, like, it's everyone's gonna just tell me to shut up after this, because it's like, I'm completely Twitter-pated, full-on, like, Thumper and Bambi level. I'm just, like, the whole time. But, yeah, it's like, if a girl already agrees to go on a date with you, and she's already, you know, she's all done her hair, done her makeup, it's like, you're starting off, like, in a good place. Just
absolutely.
The whole idea is you just don't mess it up. That's all. The first day especially. Just don't mess it up.
Literally.
And then after that, you can kind of slowly start to show her how many Sailor Moon action figures you have or whatever. But before that...
Wax is on the first date. Come on, let's be real. Would you like to see my Yu-Gi-Oh card collection? The answer is yes, always. Then we both go to the Shadow Realm together.
If you know what I'm saying. Anyway, so yeah, so you've been with and dated far more people than I could ever hope to in my lifetime.
I mean, definitely more men, yeah.
Definitely more men, but just people in general. So I figured, yeah, we'll start with you. And let's just see what kind of guys, because, you know, in my head, I assume you'd sleep with anyone, but...
Well, can you hold up? I am very picky. Just loose with my morals.
Okay.
But anyway, so I have made two lists. Basically, I have my list of hard no's. So I will absolutely not even consider going on. I mean, a lot of these things you don't know until the first date, so I wouldn't ever go on like a second date. I wouldn't consider a relationship with these people under any circumstances. And then I have a smaller list of like preferences, like if I'm going to pursue a relationship or start trying to date someone, then these are things that I would quite like them to have. They don't have to, but like it'd be nice if they did. So I'm going to start off with my hard no's. Recreational drugs.
Okay.
Absolutely not. That's the first one. Absolutely not. So, I won't consider even giving somebody, I don't want to say the time of day because that sounds kind of harsh, but like, I don't mind if you do them, just stay away from me if you do them.
Okay, so recreational drugs, obviously like any hard drug would be.
Right? Yeah, like any drugs that you do for fun, I okay. want literally no part of it. Like, okay. If you have to take medicine, then that's medicine. But, like, I mean, in England, there's a lot of, horse tranquilizers. You know, like, party drugs, like, chill out. Like, basically any of those. Like, stay literally 100 feet away from me if possible. Thank you. I want no part of that.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely, that's definitely on my list as well. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, any, like, they, okay, yeah, like, I don't judge the person if that's their life. Because it's your own life. You want to mess it up. That's your business. Don't involve
me. Exactly.
You
know like, they can do what they want. Just don't do it anywhere near me.
Yeah.
And preferably don't talk to me as well.
Right. And it's also, I mean, like any hard drug, like you know, like hard stuff, right? Like, I would absolutely never, I wouldn't even be friends with someone who did that stuff. Just because, again, don't want that in my life. Like, I could I could be an acquaintance with someone who you know, uses weed for fun or who smokes cigarettes or whatever. But it's like, yeah, I would certainly never date someone who did that.
Yeah, I would never. I mean, like, growing up in the countryside of England, there's literally nothing to do apart from do drugs and like cause trouble, basically. So obviously I've been in situations where people around me are doing drugs, like a bunch of my friends are going to be doing drugs. Like, I mean, it's, you know, it's a part of life that you kind of have to deal with, but I would absolutely not even consider dating somebody who is into that kind of scene at all. And it's funny that you should mention smoking, because that's actually next on my hard limits. I would never, ever, ever date a smoker. Not just because I have asthma and I would literally die if they were smoking in the house, but also just because it stinks and I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's the same thing. It's just like any kind of like drug, which, you know, I mean, cigarettes are, well, I was going to say cigarettes
coffee?
Are... Cigarettes are very benign, but it's like they're not. Cigarettes literally just kill you. I mean,
just kill you.
Like things like caffeine, I feel like that's in such a different category. I mean, is it a drug? I suppose technically, but like
technically,
it's just, you know, because caffeine is just kind of the opposite of like melatonin in a way, and so it's like it's. I mean, like because I feel like okay, like if someone the side effects of smoking are you get cancer and you die. The side effects of weed are also you can get cancer and die among many other mental things. And then, you know, the side effects of like meth is that you overdose and die, right? Like, but caffeine. It's
I mean,
like,
you know, there's a really really like common denominator, and it's death.
Yeah, it's strange how people still still seem to fall into these traps, even though the end result.
Bold of you to assume that we want to live, Alex.
Yeah. Like, look at me, such a freaking square, such a loser. I don't want
to.
I don't want to overdose when I'm 24. What an idiot. But like, yeah, because I feel like I've never heard of anyone overdosing on caffeine, or I've never heard of someone's Starbucks addiction ruining their life before. I guess I've never heard that. I
mean, okay, everyone, we're gonna have to talk about this next time. But I'm gonna need to talk to you about how my Starbucks addiction ruined my life. Well, how's working at Starbucks ruined my life, but that's a story for another day.
Well, yeah, okay. Now that I can understand. But yeah, so obviously things like caffeine or whatever, it's like, sure, that I consider that to be a very different thing. But as far, yeah, because and no one does caffeine for fun, I think, right? Like no one's like having caffeine parties.
You reckon?
I mean, people drink coffee because they like it, I guess, but it's never like, dude, like I brought so much coffee. You know, you still live in Japan. I used to live in Japan. For 12 years, and it's like, you know, you have to be
everyone smokes.
Who smokes in Japan. You have to.
Yeah.
And so obviously, like, yeah, I'll be friends with someone who smokes, but like if they're going to smoke around me, then at the very least just, you know, blow the smoke like away from me. You know what I'm saying? At the very, very least, give me that courtesy. But
at the very least, don't smoke around me, honestly.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
I can't really. I mean, like, I have really bad asthma anyway, so it's like, please don't smoke anywhere near me. But at the same, yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, I have friends who smoke, but you know, they give me the common courtesy that they will smoke. They'll be like, I mean, this is Japan, so you have to go to a smoking area to smoke anyway. So I'll be like, you go smoke in the smoking area. I'll be over here playing RuneScape on my phone. I'll just wait for you. It's fine. But like, you know, I wouldn't date someone who is a smoker. Like, I don't think I'd even consider it. Like, I don't want that kind of stuff in my house. Then you come home and the house smells like smoke. Like, I couldn't. Also, I want to have like pets, and pets also don't deal with smoke. So
yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, definitely. It's just like, well, it's one of those things. Like, there's nothing positive, or in my mind, right? There's nothing positive about it. There's no okay. Kind of like you said, like if someone has like a legit medical condition and they've been prescribed some kind of drug, or like, you know, in Western countries now, especially like America and like in Europe, it's like, you know, there's like medical marijuana type things where like the doctor tells you what to get because you have cancer or something like that, and it helps you like sleep at night because whatever. Like if under those types of circumstances, I'm willing to be flexible. But if it's not like a doctor telling you to do something and you're just like doing it because you have nothing else to do or because you need it to function as a human being, then it's like, yeah, like I'm just not even going to associate with you. And like, you know, I don't judge that person as like, oh, they're a bad person, or like they're a piece of garbage. Like, I don't judge them in that way, but it's just like, nope,
you just don't want it around you because you don't like it.
You know, cause it's like they get to live their life how they want, but also so do I. Right. So it's like,
absolutely. You choose who you keep in your circles.
I don't want to associate with those people. And then I won't, you know, it's really easy. I don't see what the problem is. But yeah, definitely drugs, smoking, and that is like, I would never ever date someone who did that. Or if I did, they would need to be willing to stop, or we would need to compromise in some way. And by compromise, I mean like eventually they would need to stop if they wanted to be with me. but you know, if someone wants to be with me, and then if that's not more important to them than their drug use, then it's like, I don't want to be with you anyway, so... That's just, you know, it's just like a line. Like I said, it's a hard limit. It's a hard line where it's like, I'm not going to cross this line. You can come to my side or you can stay on your side, and then we're going to date other people. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. That's pretty much the same for me. Okay. Kisara, so we've crossed out. Okay. No drugs, no smoking. Okay. So my next one for, an absolute hard no, this is going to sound like, this actually might sound a little bit classist, but I couldn't date someone who's never left their home country. Like, I really couldn't pursue a serious relationship. I mean, I've lived in 4 countries. I moved country, like, I am multicultural. I'm mixed race. I'm multicultural. I've lived in a bunch of different countries. When it comes to a real relationship with someone, there's a lot of, like, very, like, baseline things that you kind of need to have a, like, common kind of understanding of to be able to make the relationship work. And I feel like, you know, like, cultural identity, ethnic identity, that kind of stuff is really important. And then the fact that you just need to have really open mind, I suppose. And one of the best ways to have that is to visit loads of different cultures. So I don't think I could date anyone who'd stayed in their hometown their whole life or had never left their home country. And I don't want to be... I don't think I'd go as far to say has never lived in another country, but I would... This is a preference. I would prefer them to have lived in another country because, you know, just vacationing isn't the same. If you like, especially people who like, they're kind of like, I mean, I'm from the Caribbean and there's enough people. They come to the Caribbean, but they stay in the resort the entire time. They actually don't see any of the real island. Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, it's a bit different to actually living there or really going off the beaten track. So yeah, hard limit, a hard no. I couldn't date someone who has never left the country that they were born in. And as a preference, I would like them to have lived overseas for a certain amount of time, I suppose.
Yeah, I can see that. Definitely. I mean, you know, as someone who moved to Japan when I was 18 and lived there till I was 30, I mean, yeah, growing up in one place and then moving to a completely different country on the opposite side of the world, like, it definitely informed the way I see myself and the way I see the world, the way I see just things in general, like issues and especially things related to like race, ethnicity, like minorities, things like that. It's like, you know, growing up white in Iowa, I really had no idea what any of that stuff really meant. And then living in Japan, where I am I'm an extremely visible minority, for better and for worse, definitely. And so it definitely, like, you know, I'm not saying that, like, I know what it's like to be black in America now because I lived in Japan, because that would be ridiculous. But, you know, I do understand what it's like to have people just kind of stare at you and have people not trust you. And, like, you can't, it's, you know, getting an apartment, getting a phone, going into certain restaurants, people give you trouble. You know, it's like, Like, I definitely know what that's like. And so it I think a lot of
white people who move to Japan, they understand microaggressions a lot more than they would have done if they hadn't left.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Even just something simple as like sitting down on a train and then the person who's already sitting there gets up and sits somewhere else, you know, that kind of thing.
Kind of, I haven't actually ever had that, but like a lot of men say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, it makes you so, well, especially you, like walking around, like, I mean, yeah, you probably have people staring at you all the time, people
literally
taking videos of you, trying to take upskirt shots and all kinds of weird stuff.
Like, it kind of goes in two directions. Like, on one hand, I try, like, on some days, I try to dress as inconspicuously as possible. Like, I don't try and draw attention to myself because I just want people to stop looking at me. But then on other days, I'm like, they're going to look at me because I'm 170 centimeters of foreigner and I have giant tits. Like, they're going to stare at me no matter what I wear. So I should just style on everyone, stunt on these bitches, 2020. So it goes in two different directions. And today, I was cute today, but I was absolute munter yesterday. So, like, you know. Kind of, you never know. Just flip a coin, toss a coin every day.
Flip a coin, yeah, just flip a coin.
Flip a coin. But yeah, actually, this thing of becoming more open-minded when you leave the country ties into my next one. I would absolutely not date anyone who is not open-minded in the way as in they're not a bigot. So
okay, sure, yeah.
I couldn't date, I mean, I think this is kind of a real baseline for everybody. I couldn't date anybody who even like a whiff, like a small, like the smallest scent of bigotry, like racism, homophobia, sexism, anything, I would automatically write them off as just not worth my time at all. Also, I mean, because I have autism, they have to be kind of, like, a lot of people, they don't learn enough about autism to be able to understand it, but they have to be open-minded enough to be able to understand it when I tell them. And if I explain it to them, they have to be like, oh, okay. Okay, or like maybe go off and do their own research. That'd be even better. But yeah, hard limit, bigotry. I think this is everybody. I think this really should be on everybody's list. But I mean, especially for everybody, but like especially for me as well. Being autistic and mixed race, and you know, my dad's half black, half Indian. I grew up in a predominantly black country. Like, I mean, I'm gonna feel things like more sensitively, I think, and. Like, definitely anything. Actually, I'm going to throw everything in there. I mean, I'm bisexual as well. So, like, I'm literal royal flush at the moment.
So,
any form of bigotry.
So, So basically, it's like you are a bisexual, autistic, mixed
woman
race.
Woman of color. Yeah.
So, but you should. Yeah.
I'm literally everything at this point.
You just checked every box there. Just everything.
Checked every box.
You're this like black hole, this like epicenter of like of any kind of bigotry. You're probably real sensitive to it. Everyone should be. I'm saying
exactly.
Like,
yeah, everyone
for you,
should
I can definitely
be, but,
see how like as a firsthand account, yeah. You're definitely sensitive to it.
As I mean, I feel like if a regular old like white girl, regular old white boy, they get together, they have a relationship, a lot of these topics won't come up for them in daily life because a lot of the time they won't really, not that they won't see it, but they won't really experience a lot of the things and it won't hit home for them. But like for me, everything hits home. So you gotta be kind of I couldn't date anyone who wasn't even like up to date on like not like cultural events, but like, I mean, like, you know, like the Me Too movement and the Black Lives Matter, like that kind of stuff. Like, they have to be able to be, like, knowledgeable about it at the very least.
What are we saying? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's like, again, me growing up, well, not growing up in Japan, but I guess in a way I grew up in Japan, I suppose.
I did the second half of your growing up.
Yeah, like my entire adult life until recently was in Japan. And like all of the growing up I did about learning who I am as a person or whatever, like that was all in Japan.
Same.
It was the same thing, yeah, because like, you know, in Japan, much like in, you know, the United States, for example, how you have, there's not like a ton of people, I hope, but like there's a sizable amount of people who it's like, they don't really trust or like black people, but they'll still have black friends or like they'll be friends with black people because it's like, well, you're one of the good ones type of thing. As a foreigner in Japan, I felt that a lot where like people would have really strange and negative or really like ignorant opinions about foreigners or immigrants in their own country. But like, I would be sitting right there next to them and they'd be like, well, you're one of the good foreigners, Alex. And I was like, what does that even mean? First of all, you know, in a perfect world, we would all just be aware and sensitive to all these things. But it's like, you know, the environment you grow up in definitely informs a lot about who you are as a person.
Absolutely. Yeah. we've got to be open-minded enough to, you know, take on board that there are other opinions out there, and also that, you know, like, a lot of different things are going on in the world at the moment, and we kind of have to adapt. And, like, you need to sit back and decide, like, who do you need to listen to, whose voice needs to be heard, that kind of stuff. And I think it all comes down to, you know, open-mindedness and just not being ignorant, and also just not being a bigot. Like, one of the things on foreigners living in Japan Twitter at the moment is a lot of, like, half Japanese, half other places. Like, you know, if you're half Japanese and half somewhere else, then they will see you as foreign, and that's just kind of something you can't really deal with. And they see foreigners, and they're like, oh, English. So a lot of the time they'll try and speak to these, like, you know, Japanese-born, half Japanese, like, literally, like, you know, nationality that's Japanese, people in English. And they're like, okay, but Japanese is my first language. But like, oh, but you look like you speak English. So I was speaking English to you because it looks like you obviously don't speak Japanese. So you should be happy because I was trying to be kind. This is me trying to be kind to you by speaking English. And they're like, okay, you don't get it. And like, a lot of foreigners living in Japan have the same thing because a lot of us, we don't speak English. I mean, I do, obviously. But, you know, like, a lot of people, they don't speak English. And it would actually be better if people just talked to us in Japanese off the bat. But they're like, no, because, you know, like, you're foreign, you can't speak Japanese. So me speaking English to you is me being kind to you. Why can't you understand that? And it's like, okay, but we don't want that. Like, but they get up in arms. They're so mad. So that's one of the main things that's happening on Gaijin Twitter at the moment. It's literally that. It's like people saying, we don't like it when you do this, and the people saying, but we're doing it for your sake.
Yeah, and like, you know, in regards to like being a foreigner in Japan, that's true too. But also, I feel like just in any relationship in general, you know, going back to like the topic of dating people, it's like,
oh yeah, go ahead. You
know, like, if you're staying on topic, Kasira. No, but but just even in just like interpersonal relationships, it's like, you know, if you're doing something, and then the other person's like, hey, like, I don't really like it when you do this, can you please stop? And then, like, you know, like, you've probably known people, like, I've certainly known people like this, right? Where it's like, they're doing something and you're like, hey, I don't like this thing. And then they, like, turn it back on you, you know, and they're like, why are you being so sensitive? Why are you getting upset about nothing? I'm just doing it because I'm, you know, because I, whatever. And it's like, instead of
God, just, I guess I'll just not do anything then. I guess I'll just sit over here and twiddle my thumbs because you won't let me do anything. It's like,
yeah.
Wow, literally.
Yeah, yeah,
fall
yeah.
Down some stairs, please.
Like, oh, I didn't realize I was dating a third grader. Okay. but yeah, no, that happens though, right? It's like you bring up something, a concern of like something, someone does something, or maybe they talk to you in a certain way and you're like, I really wish you wouldn't use a certain word or a certain phrase or like your tone of voice. It, you know, just like something that's like, this bothers me a little bit and maybe we could, you know, you could not do it as much. And then, yeah, the other person's like, oh, fine, I guess I'll just do nothing then because you're just whatever. But that's one of the things that I really, 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 so, chalk up another mentioning my girlfriend thing on the chalkboard. That's one thing.
Here's
I really,
number two.
So we're up to two now. That's one thing I really love about my girlfriend besides everything. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like,
you're gonna get an extra one for that because you're goofy.
Sure,
three.
Sure. Go ahead. Just put up like 12. No, but but it's, yeah, it's like, you know, there were things that like I would do or say, or things that she would do or say that one of us would bring up, and the other person would be like, oh, okay, I'll stop doing that. And like that was the end of the conversation. Or it's just, you know, instead of exploding or whatever, we would just like talk about like, well, here's why this bothers me and here's why I wish you would stop. And the other person would be like, okay, yeah, I totally understand. Sure. Like, you know, I'll stop doing it. And then we would stop and then there's never a problem again. Instead of like bottling it up and holding it in for 6 months. And then the other person has no idea that they're being bothered by it. And then, you know, and then suddenly like they explode on some unrelated conversation topic thing, you know, and then it's like, well, but
yeah.
6 months
but you
ago, you also
this.
Did this
thing.
You always do this thing. And it's like, why didn't you bring it up before? It's like, well, because you would have gotten mad at me. You know, like it just cycles like that. But one thing I really love about my relationship with my girlfriend now is that we can just
13.
Yeah, keep going. One thing, it's just going to fill up the whole chalkboard. But yeah, it's just like, because we can just talk about anything and any problem, any issue, any just tiny, annoying, bothering thing. Because we can talk about it, it's like, I don't know. It's just like so easy. It's like you don't have to worry about fighting or getting upset, whatever. It's like, and in the same way, like what you said, it's like, yeah, if people would just take the time to listen and be like, okay, so this person is saying that they don't like it, and here's the reason why they don't like it, and I didn't consider that reason, so I should consider what they're saying, and then I guess I'll just stop doing it this, or I'll do it this way instead because, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, growing up, I say okay, being in Japan as an adult, I was 18, so I guess I was a kid. But being in Japan for as long as I did, yeah, one thing I always told people is like, or one thing, like I didn't tell people when they did it, but when they didn't do it, what I mean is like, when they didn't speak to me in English at first, when they spoke to me in Japanese initially, I would thank them for doing that, which sounds kind of corny, but I'd just be like, oh, thanks for just speaking Japanese to me. Because it's like, I think, because like when
that's
it happened,
a different bus,
well, like, you know, because it happens so rarely, I feel like. So when it did happen, I was like, oh, this guy gets it. This guy gets it. Okay. Like, I always appreciated it when people would do
like,
that.
Like, people talk to me in Japanese first, generally, but a lot of the time I'm away with, like, I'm astral projecting somewhere else and I don't hear them. So I go, hmm? And they think that's me not understanding Japanese. So
oh
they,
my gosh,
they
yes.
freak out. Ugh. And they're like, would you like it? And I'm like, I just didn't hear you. Can you just repeat yourself, please? You're just making everything so difficult right now. But like, this happens all the time. Like, a lot of the time I'll have an earphone in. I won't be listening. I'll just be somewhere else. Like, I'm generally not where I am at any given moment. I'm somewhere else generally. But like, I just mishear them once. And all of a sudden they start like, they literally self-destruct. Like, it's like, okay, wow, chill.
Yeah, I remember many, many years ago, I actually, this is funny to talk about now, but I applied for a job to work at BuzzFeed Japan as a video editor. Because I had just started doing YouTube and I really enjoyed it. And I knew how to use all the software. I wasn't like really good, but I knew how to use the software. And I was like, oh, I could probably edit whatever simple videos they're making. And so I applied for a job and it was a phone interview. And it was one of those interviews where like, I was on my phone, but they were using like a speaker in a conference room. And so I could like barely hear them in a way. And so, yeah. So like I would ask them to repeat what they said, not because I didn't understand it, but because it's like their voice was really small and quiet. And I was like, I'm sorry, can you say that again? But yeah, but then I failed the interview and they said because my Japanese ability was not good enough. And I was like,
you have higher Japanese ability than me.
What's that mean? I'm certified like in all the different certifications that you need, but like the Japanese ability is not the issue. The issue is that it sounded like they were talking to me through like a tin can or something. And I was just like, I couldn't hear what you said because you were super far away from the microphone. And then they're like, oh, your Japanese ability is not very good. And I was like, get out of here. But now I'm doing fine. So joke's on you, BuzzFeed. Anyway, let's move on.
Okay, I was actually only one left on my absolute hard limits.
Okay.
And it kind of ties into don't be a dick, basically. I would not give anybody even like a thought of dating them or being in a relationship with them if they are rude to waitstaff.
Well, I mean, you say waitstaff, like, but I assume like anyone in the service industry probably falls into that too.
Shop assistants, everybody. Like I think it's really important to, I mean, working in the industries that I've worked in, so, you know, like dancing and doing hostess stuff and working in cafes and blah, blah, blah. Like, people behave the absolute worst to you. They will literally act the worst that they will ever act, ever. You see the worst of people when they're around people who they think are below them. So they'll say things that they would never say in front of people who they think are their equals. But because they think you're below them, they will show the worst parts of themselves. And I think that if you're rude to waitstaff, if you're rude to shop assistants, if you're like anybody in the service industry, if you're rude to them, if you treat them disrespectfully, I just think that you're actual trash. So, whereas all the, like, a lot of things up until now, like the drugs, smoking, like, I don't hate you as a person. I just wouldn't be able to be in a relationship with you. If you're rude to waitstaff, I actually hate you. Like, capital H, I cannot stand you. I think you're a terrible person. So, also, I think it's important to say thank you to, like, shop assistants, like the convenience store. When they give you your bag, you say thank you. Like, I don't know why it's so difficult, but so many people don't do it. Like, it's basic common courtesy between human beings, like, really bugs me. So, yeah, that's actually the last one on my absolute hard nose.
I mean, that's... There's really not much to unpack on that one, but yeah.
Right?
Like, if someone's rude to someone who is just doing their job and, like, it's not... You know, it's like, I don't know. If being rude to someone who's like rude to you is maybe one thing, but like, yeah, someone
yeah,
who's
absolutely.
Just working this like thankless, low paying, like, you know, and like nowadays downright dangerous job of being, yeah, a store clerk or a waiter, waitress, whatever it is. It's like, yeah, being like, there's no reason to be rude to that person at all. Like even if that person is rude themselves, it's like, well, they probably are having a terrible day. So
yeah,
might as well give them the benefit of the doubt.
No need to sink down to that level. I mean, like, of course, sometimes you go into, like, a restaurant and sometimes people are just mean. Like, sometimes the wait staff are just really mean to you and that happens. Like, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, like, if they're pleasant, you need to be pleasant back. If they're just doing their job, you need to be polite to them. Like, and honestly, being in that position, like, I used to work at Starbucks, I've worked in so many different industries, like, people, like, smiling at me and saying thank you can really make my day. So, like, it's not that difficult just to be nice, you know?
Or even just neutral, right? Even just like...
Neutral is nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, but the, like, you don't have to be like overly nice if you're...
If you're also having a bad day, sure.
But yeah, just say please and thank you, take your stuff and leave. Like, that's all you gotta do.
Literally, like, people who, you know, like, just being disrespectful to people who you think are below you because they work in a certain industry just puts you on my shit list forever. And that's the end of my hard limits list.
Okay. Yay. So now we're going to your soft limits.
Yes, my soft limits, which are generally terms we use for kink negotiations. So I don't know if you knew that, but like every time I'm saying this, I'm like, kink.
My soft limit list, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so moving on to the first one, freaky. I would like to be freaky.
Okay, well.
I would,
put the stamp on that one.
Colorful in the bedroom, and I would like them to be open-minded and preferably quite freaky in the sack, make of that what you will. Moving onwards.
Okay.
The next one down says big titty.
What?
I like buff guys. What can I say?
Okay. Whew,
it's not...
Interpreted that one very differently.
I also like buff girls, so basically it's like people who can slap me around a bit. So on my preferences, you don't absolutely have to be a bodybuilder, but I would very much like you to be a bodybuilder.
Or at least some kind of muscle... To some degree, yes. I would assume, right?
Yes. Also a power lifter, like wrestlers I can also deal with. CrossFit, I don't mind it. But like, yeah, basically I would prefer there to be big titty involved. Male or female, I do like me some big titty. Next one down, this is kind of more strong preference, as in it's not an absolute, I will not date you if you're not this, but... It would be very difficult for me to date you if you weren't. I need them to be, at the very least, bilingual.
Okay. Okay.
So this ties into the have to have left their home country kind of thing.
Right, right. Or at least be multicultural in some way, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, speaking languages is incredibly important. I grew up speaking 2 languages, now I speak 4. Like, I think it's incredibly important to, you know, like, especially, like, learning new languages, I think it really just unlocks different parts of your brain that you never would have used before. And also... Due to the fact that I speak 4 languages, sometimes I can't think of the word I need. It'd be really great if the other person could understand.
Mm-hmm. Especially like living in Japan for so long, that definitely happens, where it's like you get so used to using certain Japanese phrases all the time that in English, in Japanese, it'll just be like one word, but in English, it has to be like a whole sentence, kind of.
Literally. Exactly.
You get so used to saying the word. Even among other foreigners in Japan, it's like you just like use that word because it's like it's so quick and easy.
Yeah, we do. I'll say English in the way that it would be said in Japanese, and if we try to say it back in England, that would not fly. But you know, like because we're over here, we're kind of used to it. Like for like saying when you turn up late, it's like, oh, sorry for late. It's like that doesn't make any grammatical sense, but I know what you meant.
Please be enjoy. Yeah.
Let's have a dinner together with me. But yeah, so
let's dance.
I would prefer my partner, if anyone that I was considering a meaningful relationship with, I would prefer them to be bilingual, multilingual. It'd be great. Not just because I forget words and languages and I would like them to be able to translate for me sometimes, just because, and also because I speak like the languages, there's things that are easier to express in this language than they are in this language. Like I tend to use more emotional language when I'm in Japanese for some reason. So, you know, it's like that kind of stuff. But like, even if they don't speak the same languages as I do, just being multicultural, being multilingual, being able to speak different languages, I think is a really, really, really like kind of crucial, honestly, for me aspect in somebody's like in like what I'm looking for in a person. As in, I will absolutely consider dating people who are not who only speak one language, but it'd be a bit difficult. I would prefer them to. But yeah, moving onwards, not a weeb. I would prefer them to not
so
be
specific.
A weeb. Yeah. I mean, you know, well, like living in Japan, yeah. You see people on the internet who fetishize an entire country, an entire race of people because of what they saw in a 2D cartoon. And I think it's gross. And then also, especially males, who I tend to date more boys than girls, but especially males, a lot of them end up sexualizing the body types that they see and then also fetishizing the girls in this country, and I think that's disgusting as well. And due to the fact of me having a very similar body type to some of these girls, it makes me feel objectified and kind of gross. And
You do kind of have that like anime waifu build, for sure.
Yeah, and when I speak Japanese, my voice is high-pitched as well. This is a story for another conversation, but like in different languages, my voice is at different pitches, and that's just facts.
Yeah, I think everybody's is, but yeah, definitely mine. When I speak Japanese, my voice is definitely higher than it is in English.
Like, right, everyone's is, but
it's
yeah,
more like
so
nasally. But anyway.
Yes, exactly, because you project it through your nose. But yeah, so yeah, just a feeling of if a guy was really into like big titty anime girls and he asked me out on a date, I would immediately write him off as a one night stand, probably nothing more than that, because I don't trust that he's in it for anything more than the clout.
Get that Kasara clout.
Like, honestly,
going on.
Sometimes I really think that if I had a breast reduction or if I didn't have these titties, my husband probably wouldn't have married me. But then when I think about it, would I have married him if he wasn't a bodybuilder?
But,
conversations.
But I see those as different though, because bodybuilding is something you can do, whereas your boobs just happened, right?
Exactly. Like half of the reason why I like it is because you can see the fruits of the labor. You can see
it
how hard they've
effort,
worked
yeah.
by looking at their body. Whereas me, like, I didn't ask for it. It's just genetics. My mum had H cups and now so do I. So it's like, but yeah, so, you know, like, it makes me really worry about my own self-worth when somebody is very obviously objectifying and fetishizing certain parts of a woman's body. And generally, I don't want to single out weebs, but, like, you're nasty. So that's that. Not preferably not a weeb, just because I think that, like, and I don't mean anime fans. You can like anime. I don't care. I watched Dragon Ball when I was a kid. I don't care. Like, you can all watch anime. You can all be interested in Japan and Japanese culture. But when it comes to fetishizing an entire culture and not really understanding anything about it, because every time I talk about Japan on Twitter and I say something about current events or problems that I face, they're like, I get these randomers who don't even live here. And they're like, well, what do you mean Japan had war crimes in the past? Naruto would never do that. So yeah, anime fans are not weebs. You'll call yourself weebs because, you know, a lawyer to make fun of us. I was like, oh, I'm a dirty weeb. It's like, nah, you know who I'm talking about. You know who I mean.
Yeah, when people say weeb or otaku or whatever, it's like, yeah, it's different than just playing video games and watching anime and whatever. It's like, yeah, you know.
It's really having, like, a boner for an entire country, an entire nation of people just based on cartoons you watched. Okay, moving onwards. This, again, it's not a hard no, but again, I would very strongly prefer to have had a similar upbringing in the way of money, to put kind of like simply, as in this is actually a problem that I have with my husband now, like a big problem. So if I were to ever decide to have a boyfriend or, you know, in the future, who knows what can happen, I would prefer to date someone like from the same like social class, kind of, just because there are so many problems and fights that we have where, so I grew up dirt poor and he grew up very wealthy, so there are some like understanding the value of work, like when I buy things, I think to myself how many hours I worked to be able to afford this. He doesn't think that at all. And then where I'm kind of used to having to do jobs that I don't really enjoy, doing like stuff that just to kind of get by and make rent, just be able to, you know, survive. But he's like, why do I have to do things that I don't want to do? So like, when you grow up with like your family bailing you out of like financial situations and paying for everything, and paying for like your university, paying for your schooling, I paid for the entirety of my own schooling, you know, it just makes for, it's very, very difficult to relate to those people on certain issues that are obviously incredibly important when you start to live together and build your finances together and start to actually make like a home together. Like, it really becomes a massive, I wouldn't say a problem, but it's a huge hurdle. So if anything, if I were to, you know, start all again, I would prefer to date somebody who had the same kind of like social background as me, just so we can kind of bond and understand those things, because it is really difficult when I'm like, I'm really struggling and I'm really like nervous about money, like really nervous. So I have to have like a lot of different bank accounts. I have to have like emergency money in this bank account, emergency money in this bank account. And hearing some of the things, like opportunities that were given to like like my cousins as well. My cousins are really wealthy. I don't understand it. Like, they have all these opportunities, but they kind of don't take, they kind of take them for granted because they don't realize. But then, you know, people who grew up very, like, not like impoverished, but not with the same amount of money and the same amount of opportunities, it makes us very bitter, and it can cause some massive problems in the future, which isn't 100% their fault, but like, it just, it's just one of those things that happens. So that is a very big preference of mine. I mean, obviously I'm married to a little prince, so it's not like it's an absolute no,
just the rich
but
boy,
I strongly no, truly though, like, I strongly would prefer to have been, not have been, like, I would prefer in the future, if I were to ever do it over again, to seriously date with, you know, like, with ideas for marriage, someone in the same kind of, like, social class, the same kind of background or upbringing, or at least attitudes towards money, hard work, and that kind of stuff.
Right, yeah, that's what I was going to say, is because, like, yeah, some people, they're, you know, they're in a very wealthy situation, like their parents or their grandparents, whatever, is, like, super rich, but they themselves sort of break away from that, and they choose to work
live
their life. And, like, you know, growing up, my parents really instilled the value of work in me. Like, my family's not super wealthy, but they're not, like, poor. I guess they're, like, maybe upper middle class, depending on where you live. But anytime I wanted anything, they were just like, well, yeah, you can have whatever you want. Just go out, get a job, work for it, save the money, buy yourself. And so, you know, me going to Japan at 18, I worked over the summer. I saved up all the money. I bought the plane ticket. I paid for the guest house when I got there. Like, I did all of it. And then even when I was, like, homeless in Japan, you know, it's like I was homeless and I never wanted to ask for money. I never wanted to, like, ask my parents for money or whatever. I wanted to, like, figure it out myself. And so, kind of like what you said, you know, I was born into an okay financial situation, and I moved to Japan and I was in, like, a really, really bad situation for a while. And then now, fast forward, now I'm in a very, very good financial situation, but it's all due to my own work. And so, and so, like, it's not like I didn't just, like, win the lottery, like, one day where it's like, oh, suddenly now I'm a millionaire. Oh, how did this happen? You know, it's like for years and years and years, you know, it's like I worked on this stuff, and I definitely, kind of like what you said, like, understanding the value of money and the value of work. I definitely went through that for almost, you know, Well, I mean, I still am, depending on how you look at it. But, like, you know, yeah, I've been super poor before. I've been homeless before. I had to survive on nothing but ketchup and mayonnaise and tap water for a week before. And so getting to that point and then kind of getting to where I am now, it's like, you know, I'm always very much aware of, like, you know, I'm in a very lucky situation, and I just want to save as much money as I possibly can. I'm not out, you know, buying a new Lamborghini every other week like some YouTubers are. Because, again, it's like, you know, I've been at the bottom.
Drop names, so, Alex.
But I've been at the bottom, and now I'm where I am now, which is very, like, you know, very comfortable, which is all I really want, just to be comfortable. Because my life is not extravagant. Like, for breakfast this morning, I literally just ate gummy worms. So, like, I do not live...
That sounds pretty extravagant to me. Like, why are you trying to, like, I mean, it sounds like you're bragging, honestly.
About the gummy worms?
Yeah, I brought the gummy worms. That sounds great.
But, like, that was literally my breakfast. yeah, so it's like, yeah, I don't live... I have not had any interest in, like, living an extravagant life, or, like, you know, oh, I'm going to stay at $10,000 Las Vegas hotel rooms. Bah, 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 bah. Like, it's not going to be... Like, that's just not what I do. And so, and I think I was really informed by that life experience of kind of going through that and then coming out of it where I am now. And so in the same way, yeah, it's like being with someone who is in, was raised in that kind of situation in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing, but it depends on how it informs their personality. You know?
Yeah, it really does. Like, I find a lot of things, like, a lot of things that me and my husband, like me specifically, will have, like, a massive fight over, and it's financial. I can kind of trace it back to the way that he was raised. I hope he's not listening to this. I'm sorry. Like, I can kind of trace it back. So, like, I think, like, a lot of your experiences, the type of person you are and, like, the way that you are, like, brought up, it kind of molds your attitudes to work and stuff like that. So, I mean, I said that I would prefer to be in the same, like, social class, but, like, as long as we have the same attitudes and work ethic, but these are also, like, very, very, very closely tied into the way they are raised as well. So, like, also just, you know, experiences, like, oh, yeah, what did you get for Christmas when you were a kid? Like, nothing. You know, stuff like that is, like, cool to talk about. So, but yeah, like, I'm not saying that if you grew up wealthy, you're a dick, but I am saying that, you know, like, I mean, things in common, it's cool to have things in common like that, and also just, like, the same attitudes and the same kind of opinions towards work, money, and budgeting, saving, that kind of stuff. Like, I think it's really important to be on the same page with that kind of stuff. You know, when you're first dating, it doesn't really matter. When you start like moving in together and start thinking about the future, then it kind of hits you. And if you didn't think about it before, then it's almost too late to back out when you've already signed an apartment contract with the person.
Yeah, that's one thing. Put another tally on the chalkboard. Something about my girlfriend Kelsey that I really like is like her family is pretty wealthy. And I guess her grandparents are like really, really wealthy, but she really wants to work and earn her own money.
That's really good.
And like, you know, even if her life is, you know, more like middle class or more whatever, because of it, she would rather not just have her dad keep giving her money. She would rather not have, you know, just rely on that and then just kind of do nothing for the rest of her life. Because where she lives is full of like a lot of rich people. And like all the sort of rich people's kids, they're all just these trust fund kids who are doing nothing with their life, going nowhere. They just have a bunch of money for no reason. And so she really wants to like work and earn her own money and kind of live her own life in that way, which I think is very respectable. So that's definitely something. Yeah. Like you said, it's that type of personality is definitely someone that you, cause you know that you can rely on them and you can like trust them to like work and be willing to put in effort and be willing to like, you know,
yeah, that's so important.
And just like and it kind of informs the entire rest of their life, because it's like, if they grew up never having to try for anything, then they're not going to try for anything, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They don't like when, you know, they take things for granted. But yeah, moving onwards, I only have one left, actually.
Okay.
And I think we brought it up quite a few times. I don't know which episode of the podcast is going to be. I don't know if it's going to make it into the podcast. But so I'm in an open relationship. I've been in an open relationship with my husband for 5 years now. So
And you've sort of been sexually open in that way for basically your whole life, right? More or less. Or is that,
my relationships up until now, I mean, my husband was my third boyfriend ever, and my first two boyfriends were a normal, like, monogamous relationship, and I hated it. So, I did my best, and, like, my first two girlfriends as well, like, you know, we're in just normal monogamous relationships, so, and then I really realized that I'm just not built for it. I can't deal with monogamous relationships, I just can't do it. So, no, that's a lie. I can do it. I just won't be 100% satisfied. I won't be happy like that. Exactly. Yeah. So again, it's not an, I absolutely will not consider dating you if you do not do this, but this is my biggest preference. Like, you've got to be open to open relationships, polyamory. It's hilarious because obviously I've been in an open relationship for ages, but I actually don't know the difference between polygamy and polyamory. Someone explain it to me. I don't know. I should have looked it up so I could explain it to you guys. I really don't know. But I feel like polygamy, you will join in. I feel like polygamy is where like you have like sister wives and they like, yeah, they're all like in a relationship together.
Yeah. Polygamy is one guy and then basically a guy with a harem. That's polygamy.
Okay.
Whereas polyamory is like you and him date other men and women or whatever.
Because, I mean, the way that I am, so I will have, I mean, I kind of like to think of it as like, you know, back in, you know, like, so you've got the emperor and he's got his empress and she's like the queen and she's the number one and she's everything. And he has like, you know, his concubines on the side. That's how I think about it. So my husband is my king. I love him more than anything. Like, he's number one, absolutely. But like, I mean, I love lobster. Lobster is one of my favorite foods, but sometimes you really just want a pizza, don't you? So like, I just kind of think it like that. You just really want to have other things. It doesn't stop me from liking lobster so much. I love lobster. It's my favorite food. But you know, like, sometimes you just want Burger King and that's cool as well. So that's kind of how I think about it. And there are a lot of people who are absolutely against it. There are a lot of people who don't understand it. Like, you know, everyone's different on this, especially since, you know, we were raised in a monogamous society. But I mean, the relationships I've been in, there's been cheating involved on, you know, like both sides. So it's like, what if one of us is just going to cheat? We may as well just have an open relationship and be open and honest with each other. That's what I like about the relationship I have now. We have rules, we abide by those rules, and I trust him completely. He trusts me completely. If I say I'm going out on a date with this guy, I'm going to be home at this time, then I'd be home at that time. And he knows that he can trust me. So, I mean, you know, some people, I don't have a concept of like jealousy. I don't really feel that kind of jealousy ever. So it's kind of different for me. A lot of people don't have that, but it's a very large preference of mine that they have to be open to open relationships, basically, because I do not function well in monogamous relationships.
Well, and you know, again, like that's Sure. Like that's actually something on my list as well, is to not be open relationship. so there you go. But yeah, I mean, sure. I see it the same way, kind of as like with the drug conversation we had earlier, where it's like, you know, I don't think someone who's in an open relationship is like a bad person or anything. Obviously, it's like, do whatever you want.
Degenerates.
Yeah. Sexual degenerate. You need Jesus.
Yes, me.
No, but like same though, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just something I cannot be in that type of relationship. I could not be in a relationship that's open. Much like how you said that if you were in a closed relationship, you wouldn't be happy. And for me, it'd be the opposite, where it's like, I mean, could I physically date someone who is in that type of lifestyle? Like maybe, but I would just kind of be miserable the whole time. Cause I'm way too much of like a sappy romantic to do that. Like for me, sex and love are absolutely intertwined. I know, you know, put another one in the chalkboard. Jeez, Alex, shut up with the Kelsey talk already. I can already see the comments. No, but it's true though. It's like for me, sex and love are very much intertwined. And so it's like, if I love this person, like I'm completely in love with Kelsey. And so therefore I would only ever want to have sex with her, you know? And I would hope that she feels the same way. Whereas I know for you, it's different. For you, love and sex are kind of separate, which is
absolutely separate. Yeah, I don't even see them in the same place.
Right, which is totally fine. And that's how you live your life. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But again, same like with, you know, like cigarettes, for example. Like some people think of cigarettes as not a big deal. And some people like cigarettes. But for me, it's like I would just never date someone who smokes cigarettes. That's just like a line I'm not going to cross. And it's like, there you go. And same with open relationships. It's like I have nothing against people who have open relationships. And like if that's what... Like if I had dated Kelsey and then turns out that's what she wanted, then we just wouldn't be together because it's like, it's not going to work. So yeah, I get that. I totally get that. I mean, for you especially. Cause you gotta,
it's not 100% a hard no, but I would very, very much like them, prefer them to have an open mind towards those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my list is, I think, pretty similar to yours. I feel like I'm a lot less strict about personality things specifically and physical things. Cause yeah, for me, number one, again, like drugs, smoking, that type of thing. It's just not like, I don't want that in my life. We already talked about it like a whole bunch, even like someone who like, I feel like drinking is also something like, I don't drink at all. I'm very much a teetotaler, as you will. But, yeah, if drinking is like a big part of their life, like they love to go out to clubs, they love to go out to bars and get drunk with their friends, then it's like, I just don't think we would get along well, just generally speaking.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, because I don't really drink either. But, I mean, I don't mind other people drinking. And, you know, occasionally I also partake in, you know, the devil's juice. But, I don't think... If someone felt like, you know, they have to come home and they have to crack open a beer and they drink it, and that's like... I think that's kind of like a... not like a personality problem, but I think it's a little bit of a problem if they feel like they need to do
it. Right, right, right. Yeah, exactly. It's like if the only way they can have fun is by... doing something like drugs or drinking or whatever, then I just don't think we would get along well. Not that I judge them for that, but it's just like, I just don't think our personalities just wouldn't match up well enough to date long term, I feel like.
Yeah, which is why living in Japan is fucking difficult, because everybody is so
drinking and smoking
addicted.
Is all you do. Yes.
Literally, yeah. Like, and they can't have fun unless they're drunk. And I'm like, wow, that's an actual personality
really
problem.
Sad.
And you should should probably have some therapy for that.
Yeah, it's like. Right. Like, you know, especially like if someone's like talk about like weed, for example, and it's like, you know, a lot of people who use weed regularly, it's like a lot of their friendships are completely just built around the fact that they all smoke together. And so it's like, if you take that out, then like what friendship is left? And then like, and then people I've talked to who kind of went through like they quit weed or they quit some kind of drug, whatever. It's like they come to realize that like none of their friends were actually their friends, or most of them were not actually their friends.
Yeah.
It was just a place to get weed or smoke or whatever. And then that was the whole thing. And so like, you know, when you're in the middle of it, you feel like, oh, these are my super close friends. And like, we talk about all kinds of stuff together. It's so great. But then like you realize like, oh, actually it was just the drugs. That's it.
Sad.
And same with alcohol too. It's like, yeah, like if you're friends with all these people and all you do is drink together, then it's like, okay, like try having fun one weekend without alcohol and see what happens. And if you can't do it, that's really sad, I think. But that's just my personal
opinion. Play Uno.
Next would be this is a bit of a personality thing, but someone who is like unreliable or untrustworthy. And what I mean specifically what I mean is like, if they say they're going to do something, but then they never do it. Or if they say they're going to stop doing something, but then they keep doing it. Like the kind of person who like apologizes for doing something, but never actually stops doing it. You know what I mean?
Oh, my ex-roommate. Amazing.
But like that's for me, that's something that like over the years that's really bugged me about not just people I date, but just like friends, like anyone really, like associating with those type of people who like they just like you can't believe anything they say really, because you know, it's like, oh, I'm gonna do this and then they never do it, or like, yeah, I'm gonna stop doing that and then they never stop. Like, yeah, that's just something that's like, I just like clashing personalities thing. It's like, I just really can't be with someone who I constantly have to double check and triple check everything they're doing and saying. Like, I don't have time for that, you know?
Yeah, you can't be checking on someone else, especially when they're a grown adult.
Yeah, no, because like, I'm just way too old for that. I'm way too old to have to worry about like, okay, you said you're going to do this. Now, did you actually do it? You know, like some kind of like mom or something. Like, did you do your homework? You know, like I can't do that. All right. Next would be like, similar type of thing, but like doesn't take responsibility for their own actions, or like doesn't take responsibility for their own problems in a way where it's like, for example, like if you know, like there's those people who instead of solving the problem, they actually just, they like to complain about it more than actually solve it.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if you know one like that, Kassara, but
don't talk to me.
Hi, podcast over, everybody. Podcast is over. No, but but yeah, it's like, that's something that always kind of bothers. I mean, like if it's like a big problem that needs, you know, to be worked out, that's one thing. But if it's something where like the solution is actually very simple, like just do this or just do that. And then they don't, you know, then it's kind of
But then like they always come up with excuses why they can't do that. Like you give them all these solutions. And they're like, no, because this, no, because this. And it's like, okay, well, I'll do it for you. No, because this.
Yes. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Do you really want to solve this?
No, exactly. It's like they're more concerned about, like they're having too much fun complaining about it, or they, I don't know, like some people get addicted to that like negative feeling of like feeling powerless or helpless or whatever, where it's like, oh, my life is so terrible. Let me tell you how terrible it is. And then they tell you about their life problems. And it's like, all of these were caused by you.
That is true. I mean, like, I get it, but from an extent, because when something bad happens to me, the first thing I want to do is I want to call my mom and I want to cry. And then when I'm done crying and she's patted me on the head over Skype, obviously, then I'll get to fixing it. But then there are the people who just want to be patted on the head constantly.
Right. Yeah. Like people, like some people, I feel like this happens with girls more than guys, but definitely happens with guys too. Where it's like, it's like you want to complain. You want to, You want to have someone, like give you yoshi yoshi on your head and like make you like,
you
everything's
just want
okay.
That delicious sympathy.
I'm here for you. Like having people listen to you complain about problems is more enjoyable than not having the problem in the first place. You know what I mean?
Can you imagine? Can't relate.
Along the same lines, needless drama in the relationship is something I absolutely am just way too old for at this point. Like what I mean is like,
okay, like what? Because I don't think I've ever had drama in a relationship.
Well, see, the thing about you, like, because you're in such an open relationship, for example, then, you know, I feel like that kind of, like, relationship,
sexual
drama.
Oh, so you're, like, flirting with guys and stuff? Like, you know, like, trying to make them jealous for no reason, that kind of stuff?
Well, along this, just anything, like, in that regard. Like, for example, like, obviously, within the person's control is what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, because sometimes just things happen and you have to deal with it, and that's life. Obviously, no problem. But if it's, like for example... like because you're totally open with relationships, this would not apply to you, but for someone who's a normie like me, you know, where it's like for example, if like, let's say, you know, I'm with some girl, whatever, and it's like, and her ex keeps trying to get back with her, and that's not her fault, obviously, because you can't control his actions, but if she specifically keeps saying like, oh, my ex keeps texting me, oh, my ex keeps you know, sending me stuff on Instagram, exes, whatever. And it's like, well, I mean, do you want him to like not do that? She's like, oh yeah, I hate it. It's like, okay, so just block him then. And then like,
no, because this.
Right, exactly. It goes back to what I said about not take responsibility for the thing, or like choosing not to deal with problems. Where it's like, it's like if you don't want to be with him anymore, and clearly he doesn't just want to be your friend because he wants to get back with you. He's trying. He's telling you, baby, I miss you. I miss you. Remember all those good times we never had? Let's have that again. And like, he keeps trying to do this. And you tell me you're not interested. So like, why don't you just block him then? And like, that's just like an example, but it's like, you know, like here's this problem and it indirectly involves me because I'm with you and I'm the new boyfriend and now your old boyfriend is still trying to hook up with you, whatever, which makes me feel weird, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. And so it's like, well, okay, so why don't you just like solve the problem, block them, there you go. And then if they're like, yeah, okay, then fine. But then if they come up with 1,000 reasons why they won't block their ex-boyfriend from trying to hook up with them, I'm like, so do you want the attention from him? Or like what is the purpose of this? Stuff like that kind of needless drama where, again, I'm just too old for that type of stuff. I'm too old to be wondering about, you know, like obviously it's not about trust. It's like, you know, I would trust this person, or I assume I would if we were at that point in our relationship. I would trust them specifically, but it's just like, it's just this like pointless, needless stress and drama that just shows up. And it's like, you could literally just fix it in two button presses. So
literally.
Things like that are things where I'm just like, I'm too old for that. I don't have time for that. I'm 32. I could have a heart attack at any moment. So like, I don't need to constantly be worrying about like, oh, cause like if it's like random, like, you know, I'm sure you get lots of random dudes on your Instagram or whatever. I mean, the Instagram you would have if you had one, you know,
of course.
Right. Cause you don't exist. It's actually me just doing a voice the whole time, but yeah, I'm sure you get all kinds of weird messages from random dudes and mm-hmm. you're just like, nope. I don't care. Don't care about this. But you know, if it's like an ex-boyfriend or whatever, that's like a whole different thing, I feel like.
Whole new kind of worms, yeah.
You know, right, because it's like, and I guess in a way, it's also just like, you know, because this is someone that at one point you loved as much or maybe more than you love me now. And so there's definitely way more going on there when that guy reaches out and you choose not to block him or you choose not to delete the thing or whatever. It's like, there's obviously some reason why you don't. And I don't want to deal with that. So it's like, I don't need this drama. Like, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying like, oh, you can't have any friends and you can't do whatever. Like, obviously that's not the case, but it's like, if it's an ex that you're not friends with, or if it's, especially if it's like a recent breakup, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, you don't want to talk to him. You ignore all his messages. You ignore all his texts. You ignore his phone calls. So just block him then. And then if they choose not to, then that just makes me go like, huh, why?
Okay.
Like you like the attention or what's going on? Because that probably opens up a whole bunch of other issues. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's just how I see it. Some of you might disagree. Obviously, you, I assume, wouldn't have that problem in your relationship.
But. Yeah, I don't really feel that kind of stuff. But I mean, I still get it though.
The last thing for me, sort of a personality trait, would be they need to have like their own hobbies or interests. And it would be great if we shared some, like they like to play, like Kelsey loves to play video games. So do I. So we play tons of games together. It's awesome. Kelsey loves to cook. I love to cook. We cook together. It's awesome. And so, you know, like having things you can do together besides just love each other, is mm-hmm. really good. And it sounds like common sense, but it's like, I know several couples and I've been in a situation before where it's like, you just have nothing in common besides that you kind of like each other.
I see.
And so for me, it's like being able to share at least one sort of common hobby is something that's important to me specifically. But that's just me. And like, as far as physical stuff, I have absolutely no preferences as far as like physical things. Like I don't need a perfect, like, yeah, fitness model body or whatever. I guess I just have to be attracted to the person. That's really all it is. Like I don't have a preference of, like, you know, you need guys with big old boobies and stuff, but that, I mean,
it was just my preference. I mean, I've dated guys who don't have big boobies, but I would prefer them to have some big buff titty.
I mean, everyone has preferences in that way, I guess. Like, oh, yeah, sure, it'd be great if I could date a supermodel, dude. But, like, but as far as, like realistic, I mean, my girlfriend's super hot. You just put another thing on the chalkboard. My girlfriend is, like, the hottest girl I've ever met in my life. But it's, like... Yeah, it's like I don't have like a physical like preference type of thing in that way. Okay, then we're going to stop there for today. So thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for listening to us talk about people we would and would not date and listen to me talk about my girlfriend. Talk about my girlfriend like 27,000 times, but that's how it's going to go. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. You know, follow me on like Twitter or subscribe to my YouTube channel, whatever. And then don't look for Kasara because she's not actually a real person. It's just me holding an Elmo toy talking with a voice. So she's not real. So I'm trying to say she's not real. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you have a good time. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.